Amen, amen. It is so good to see you. Welcome to church. Look at your neighbor and say, good morning, I'm glad you made it. And then have a seat. Good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord. Good morning. I hope you have had a wonderful week. I missed you. We were out of town this past week, but contrary to popular opinion, it wasn't because Alabama lost, okay? There was some folks that said Pastor Brandon's going to be missing this past Sunday because Alabama lost. No, I was mourning, but I would have been here, all right? Because we won this week, praise the Lord, all right? But it is so good to see you. I miss you, but it is good to be back. And if you were here, I had a chance to watch it online. Did Brandon Gillum not bring just an amazing word from the Lord? Can you just celebrate that, man? Praise the Lord. Just so wonderful. And it's just wonderful to watch people grow and just develop. And it's just an honor. So before he gets too embarrassed, let's move on. All right. Yeah, if you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 is we get into the third part of a series that we have entitled Practicing Resurrection. So we're going to be getting into this, and if you have your message notes with you, you can get those on our mobile device. You can also get the paper notes, and you're going to want to use the paper notes today as we get into this. We're going to kind of have a little bit of a lab this morning and kind of do some circling and some underlining. It's going to be a lot of fun. But if you've been with us the past couple of weeks, what we've been talking about is when we receive Jesus for our salvation. You know, the Bible says that we have been born again. Like we receive resurrection life. That the Bible says that old things have passed away and then all things become new. We receive and experience resurrection power in our lives. But I don't know about you, but the question for me has always been, then what? Like, how do I practice this resurrection life every day as I go through the different journeys and experiences that I have? And I feel like that's what the book of Ephesians really teaches us. Just God's word, just passage by passage, teaching us how to practice resurrection in our life. And so that's the goal of this series, is just to walk through God's word and just see how we can practice this resurrection life every day. And there may be many different places and many different scriptures we could choose, but to me, the key passage of all of Ephesians is Ephesians chapter 2. When the Bible says God saved you by his grace when you believed or trusted in what he did on the cross for your salvation. But then he says, just be sure you know, you can't take credit for it. It was a gift from God. And to realize that in our lives, here it is, that we are God's masterpiece. And so when Christ saves us, he starts to work on our lives and he makes us into his masterpiece. And for some of us, God is creating this beautiful work of art in our lives. And for some of us, it's going to look like a Da Vinci when it's done, and it's going to be beautiful. For some of us, it's going to look like a Picasso. Only God knows exactly what it is. But it's going to be beautiful because God is making it in all of us. And that's what we're just learning, you know, verse by verse, is the different tools that God uses to make that masterpiece. And for some of us, in certain times throughout this series, it's going to be a brush stroke and it's going to be amazing. Other times it's going to be an eraser where God is just saying, hey, let's move this out of our life. But our goal is just to stay on the easel and just say, God, do what you want to do with me. And so in week one of our series, we talked about that idea of a masterpiece. Last week, you know, Brandon talked about the idea of the greatness of God and what he wants to do in us. And today we're going to take the next step and talk about how Paul starts to just share with us the idea of then taking that next step of spiritual growth in our life. And I like the idea of kind of how he does this. And to kind of give you an idea, I don't know if you've ever played this game. But my wife and I, sometimes when we're going down the road, we like to play games like, what if? You know, what if this happened? What would you do and all that? And I don't know if you ever watched the movie Aladdin, but have you ever played the game of what would you do if you happened to rub your coffee cup and a genie came out of the, you know, because only if a genie existed, it would be in a coffee cup. I mean, forget the lamp. All right, that's where it would be. But what if a genie came out and he said, hey, great news. I'm going to give you 3 wishes. Have you ever played that game? What would you wish for? Well, I'm the guy who automatically says 3 more wishes. Absolutely. But what if that wasn't the case? You were going to get 3 wishes, but then here was the catch. You couldn't spend them on yourself. You had to use those for someone that you loved. It becomes a little bit less fun, right? No, it becomes great. But then you think about, If I could wish for anything for somebody, what would I wish for? You know, would you wish for wealth, for fame, for whatever? What would you wish for if you could have three wishes for someone that you loved? Well, Paul is in this moment, and he's not making a wish to some arbitrary, fictitious thing. He's talking to God, and he's saying, you know what? I've got a big idea for you, and I'm not just making some random wish, but I'm praying. Which is the most powerful thing that we can do as Christ followers for another person is to go to God on behalf of somebody else. And he's saying, I'm praying that God will do these things in your life. And when he's finished telling us what he's doing, his greatest hope is that something powerful, something amazing would happen in their life. And my hope is the same thing for you. And that is, I think the big idea of this passage of scripture is that we would realize that what we have been looking for is found in Christ alone. Like Paul has got this moment when he can pray for anything. He's like, you know, I've really been seeking God for you. And I guess I could have prayed for money. I could have prayed for the job opportunity. I could have prayed for this, that, and the other. But my greatest prayer is that you would do what we're going to call today the cycle of spiritual growth, that you would experience God, and that the greatest news I have for you is that whatever you've been looking for, you would realize that it's actually found in Christ alone. Like, what would it look like in your life if you realized the number one thing you've been searching for has an address? Like, it's not just a random thing, but it actually can be found. Because I believe everybody in here, and I'm not trying to out you, but everybody in here has a private battle nobody else knows about. And no one wants to admit that and all of that. We all have a really great smile and we're high-five each other and we all this kind of stuff, and that's okay. But even your neighbor, not you, but your neighbor has a private battle that you don't know about. And don't be like rude. No. They don't want you to know, okay? It's okay. But everybody has a private battle. But what if that thing that nobody else knows about, there's an answer to it? And that answer could be found, can be found in Jesus. Would that change how you prayed? Would it change how you went to your time in God's word, that you didn't just go read your Bible because it was your duty for that day, but you went searching for the thing you thought could never be found? And what Paul is saying is, my highest hope for you, and I'm praying you get in this cycle so that you could realize that even that thing, whatever it is, can be found in Christ alone. Well, we're going to read this passage together. And then if you look on your message notes, we put it on there, and we're going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. And the words are just a little bit different kind of here and there. It's because that's the translation. We're going to do some circling and some underlining, because I really want you to get this in your heart on how God can bring about this realization of who he is in our lives. So let's read this together, and then we're going to break it down. Paul said this. He said, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere. In other words, listen, I got to tell you, folks been gossiping, but don't worry, it's been good news. Ever since folks been gossiping about you, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray constantly for you, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. Not only that, but I've been praying that your hearts will be flooded with light so you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Not only that, but I also have been praying that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler, authority, power, leader, or anything else, not only in the world now, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ, that he made him and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body, and it is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. And what he's saying is I've got this big idea for you. I've been listening to all the things that you've been doing and all the things that's been happening. Folks been gossiping, but don't worry, it's good news. But you know what? I don't want you to stop there. I've got an even bigger idea for you. And that is that it ends up with you realizing that everything that you've been searching for is found in Christ alone. So for you to find that, what I want you to do, what we're going to talk about today, is we're going to talk about getting in on what we're calling the cycle of spiritual growth. As you just start growing in God, and as you do that, you start seeing him more and more clearly. That's the prayer that he's been praying. And I want you to kind of take a personal inventory and kind of say to yourself, where in this cycle am I at? Am I seeing God and his greatness? Or have I kind of gotten off a little bit and maybe there's a course correction I need to take in my life? So Paul is saying that I want you to see this. And so I've been hearing the good things, and so I'm praying for you. And the first thing he says I've been praying for is he says this. He says, I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. And so what he's saying is the first way for me to be able to help you understand that Christ is what you've been looking for is my first prayer is that I pray that you not just know about God, but you really know him. The only way for you to understand that Christ is what you've been looking for is for you to have a head knowledge. That's great. But at some point, it's got to go from up here and it's got to travel south to somewhere in here and for you to know who he is. And the thing is that we've really got to understand is there's this dichotomy of we never need to stop learning about God, but knowledge by itself is not enough. Did you know that there's a statistic out there that it says a majority of people who go to seminary, that's where people go to learn how to do ministry, learn more about God, a majority of people who go to seminary at some point in their education will have a major crisis of faith, which sounds completely ridiculous to me. You would think that you would go to seminary to experience more of God, but it's actually quite the opposite. Because what happens is people will go and they will equate knowledge of God with a relationship with God. But that's not how it works. And many times they learn more about God only to realize, I don't really know him that much at all. It kind of works like this. Like, I know right now who the president of the United States is, okay? His name is Joe Biden, all right? That's the president. I know about the president. I know who he is. I know roughly how old he is. I think he was the 45th, 46th president. I know some facts about him, all right? But if I called the White House, and I have no idea what that number would be. 1-800-WHITE-HOUSE. I don't know what it would be. But if I called and said, hey, it's Brandon, let me speak to Joe, I'm not getting in, okay? You know why? Because I do not know him at all. I know about him, but I don't know him. Now, I know my wife. She and I have been married for over 20 years. I know her phone number. If I called her, I wouldn't say, hey, it's Brandon, Brandon Cannon, you know, the guy, you know, that's at the same address you're at. And no. I would just pick up the phone and say, hey, I was thinking. I just go into the conversation because not only do I have a relationship with her, but we talk enough that we don't have to just introduce ourselves to one another. I don't just have a head knowledge, but I know who she is. I have a relationship. And what Paul is saying is my prayer is you don't just know about God, but that you really know him, because when you know him, you're gonna understand that he's really all you need. And how does he say that we really get to know him? He says this, and if you've got your analog notes, I want you to underline the word wisdom, all right? And if you're looking at your notes on your mobile device, take a Sharpie and just underline it on your phone. It's fine, all right? That's a joke. Don't really do that, okay? Because I'm not buying you a new phone. All right, but underline the word wisdom. He's saying, you know, one of the ways that you get to know who God is, he said, one of the ways is that I'm praying you'll get some wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? Isn't that just knowing things? Not at all. Here's an equation for you. This is what wisdom is. Wisdom is, eventually it is, all right, come on now. Wisdom is, let's do it this way. Wisdom is knowledge plus experience. Knowledge plus experience equals wisdom. Now, what does that mean? Knowledge, which is information, applied. So it's knowledge applied equals wisdom. Do you know, I know someone right now who has a master's degree in education and in art who works at a t-shirt shop. That was not her career path. She has plenty of education, but she has zero experience. And so she's struggling to get a job within her field because she has all the knowledge, but she doesn't have any experience. There's so many things in our lives that we can know all about God, but until we get experience of how to apply what we know to the world around us, it's just going to be knowledge. And what Paul is saying is, my prayer for you is that you'll learn about God, and then you'll take him with you into your life. And you'll be honest with you, you'll go through some things. You'll have some challenges to overcome, because when a challenge presents itself, then you have a chance to apply what you're learning, and it's going to create spiritual wisdom. And then you begin to realize, oh, that's why I read my Bible. That's why I pray. That's what that verse means. Because here's the thing, you can know a script, you can memorize a Bible verse all day long, but until you know how to apply it to your life, there's not much power there. I can say all day long, you know, that I can do all things through Christ which gives me strength, but it's not until I'm broken and I'm hurting and I'm alone, and then I'll realize that even in that place, God is with me. That's when I begin to realize the power of God's word. And so Paul is saying, you know what I pray for you? I pray that you'll take that knowledge and then you'll experience some things so it can turn into wisdom. And then when we do that, he says, I pray that you'll have wisdom and insight. I want you to underline the word insight, because insight is what happens. You know what insight means? Insight means to see clearly. It's the, oh, now I get it. Paul is saying, when you see that God, who God really is, it's because you've taken that knowledge and you've kind of gone through some things and it's turned into some wisdom. And then when you see how it works, you go, oh, now I get it. Let me tell you how that happened to me a few years ago. I was doing my devotion one morning, and in my devotion time, I was reading through the book of John, the last few chapters, and it was this place where Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's saying that from this time on, don't just pray to me, but pray to the Father in my name, because the Father himself loves you and wants to talk to you. So it was this wonderful thing, but just to be very honest with you, I'd read that before. And so I was like, hey, praise the Lord. I already knew that, but all right. So I kind of put my Bible up for the day, and I was kind of wondering. I was like, okay, all right, you know, kind of go through it. And later in that day, someone from our church called me, and they were like, look, Pastor, I know this is just out of the blue, and I don't know if this is on top of your head or not, but my wife and I, we're having an argument right now because she thinks you should pray to Jesus. I think you should pray to the Father in Jesus' name. I don't know if it matters, but do you have any idea? And I was like, you know, yes, it just so happens I was reading that this morning, and I told him all about it, and it was amazing. And I got off the phone, and it was like I had one of those, oh, now I get it. The reason why I read my Bible every morning is sometimes it's to bless me, and sometimes it's to put me in a position to be a blessing to somebody else. Now I get it. And then, so the next time I went to my devotion in the morning, I got why I did it. I was excited to get there because I couldn't wait to see what God was going to do with what I read about that day. And it went from just being information to then an experience. All of a sudden, the lights went on, and I was able to see what God was doing. And what I think Paul is saying is he's telling us, he's saying, listen, I got this big idea for you, and I want you to realize that everything that you need is found in Christ alone. Everything. Everything you need is found in Christ alone. But that leads to the question, well, then how do I get there? And he's saying, step one is I'm praying for you to not just know about him, but I want you to really know him. And so how do we do this? And that is, we just make a decision that I'm going to take Jesus with me everywhere I go. I'm not going to leave my relationship with God at church. I'm not going to leave my relationship with God at home, but I'm going to invite God to go with me everywhere I go in my life. Because I need him to go with me so that I can experience his goodness. If I leave God at home and I go out there, I don't have any way of gaining wisdom and insight. But I'm just going to say, God, I'm going to take you with me everywhere I go. And I'm going to get on that cycle of what you want to do in my life so that I can realize that everything I'm looking for is found in you. And then he said, once you get going on that and you start to get to know who God is, my prayer is the next step. And he says this in the next step. He said that, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you will understand the confident hope that he has given to those he called. So he's saying, once you start to invite God into your life, then he says this, my prayer is that the more you know him, the more your confident hope will grow. The more you get to know him, It's not the opposite. It's not the more disappointed that you get, but it's actually quite the opposite. The more you get to know him, the more excited you get, the more confident hope that you start to grow in. And he said it like this. If you're taking notes, I want you to underline this phrase. How does our confident hope grow? By allowing him, his light, to flood our lives. Now, I don't know what flooding means to you, but to me, flooding is not like a little pin light. It's the strobe light. You know, it's huge. It's amazing. And what Paul is saying is that my hope is that you start to grow, then all of a sudden, boom, God just starts to infiltrate every part of your life. Because when the light of God comes in, it brightens up everything. It kind of reminds me of this. I was a baby when this happened, and my dad has told this story. And Dad, if you're watching, I'm stealing your story, and it's totally okay. but when I was a baby, we lived in North Alabama, and my dad was pastor of this church. And he's retired now, but at the time he was pastor of this church, and he had been in and out of that church for just years, right? He knew it. He knew it. He knew where the seats were. He knew where the instruments were. He knew it. And the back door of the church was back behind the stage, and the lights were out. It was pitch black, and the lights were at the front. And so he just realized, I know where everything is. And so he goes through the back door, walks off the stage, walks right down the center aisle, and goes and turns the light on. Well, as he's going to turn the light on, he comes back down, and right in the middle of the aisle was a snake. And he said the snake, of course, I guess it grows in the telling. The snake was at least 20 feet long, okay? You know. Now, he did say it went from one aisle to the other aisle. It was a long snake. And here's the thing. Just to make sure you understand, we were not that kind of church, okay? All right. We were not a snake-handling church. We were a snake-exterminating church, okay? We want to step on them, okay? That's what we wanted to do. And the thing is my dad was like, I don't know if it was poisonous or not. All I know is it needed to be dead, okay? And he said, all I could think about was I walked right over that snake, and it could have killed him. Not because it would have bit him, but he'd had a heart attack right then when he did, because my dad has got a phobia of snakes. And I got to thinking about that when it comes to God just flooding his light into our life. And you know what is wonderful about the light of God? Is if my dad had done that in the other way, he would have seen the danger before he got there. And he wouldn't have had to just wonder if he was going to be okay. And you know what light does? That's what light does. It reveals danger. It reveals those different things. You know what light does? Is it reveals the good places to walk. Light heals. Did you know that right now, which not today because it's cloudy, but on a normal day, you go outside, vitamin D from sunlight goes into your pores, and it actually can help you in your life. It can heal you. It's part of the feel-good hormone, that vitamin D. It goes into that serotonin. You know what it does? Is it warms you. That's what God wants to do in our lives. That when we go from just knowing about him to getting to know him in our life, and we invite him into everything that we're doing, and we invite him to walk with us in every area. Do you know what we then have to do? It's not just invite him into our workplaces and into our homes, but we need to invite him into every space in our hearts. But here's the problem. Many of us don't want to do that because we're not quite sure what he's going to do with it. Because we've all heard the stories, haven't we? We've all heard the stories of people in their lives being exposed to have this horrible sin issue or this problem and all these things. And we're like, God, I want more of you in my life, but I'm a little bit afraid to turn everything over to you because I don't know what you're going to do with it. I don't know if I can trust you. I don't know if you're going to protect me, you're going to honor me, or are you going to expose me? Well, can I tell you that God is not here to hurt you? That actually what happens is you turn everything over to him, and you even give him the closet area in your life. That you no longer invite God into the living room, but you open the dark places and you say, God, I want you in every area of my life. And when we do that, you know what you're going to find? Is that God is trustworthy. That God never reveals anything he doesn't also intend to heal. And as you start to open up even those wounded places, even those broken places, even those places where you're not so sure what God's going to do with it. Can I go ahead and tell you, he already knows it's there. And he still loves you. But he loves you enough to say, I don't want you to stay broken. And so sometimes God's going to say, I'm going to reveal that I really need to get into that dark closet. Not so I can hurt you, but it's time to be healed. It's time for you to walk in wholeness. And so what we do is we don't just invite God into our world, we invite him into our heart. And what happens is as God starts to heal us from the inside out, the Bible says that we do that so that we can understand the confident hope. We understand that my hope is not that God is okay with my sin. I start to understand that my hope is he knows how to help me get free from it. He knows how to help me walk in healing and walk in freedom. And so I no longer hide my sin from God as though he didn't know it was there, but I give it to him because I trust him to set me free. What would you do if you knew that if you turned everything over to God, he wasn't going to shame you? He wasn't going to tell you that he was ashamed, but rather he would say, can I be honest with you? I already knew it, and I still love you. Would that then give you the confident hope that I can turn everything over to God because I can trust him to heal me? And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, man, I've been hearing some great things about you. So you know what my prayer is? Is that you would find that really what you're looking for is not the accolades. You're learning that you need to learn that getting more of God is really where it's at. That really everything you need is from God. And so I want you to go from knowing about him to truly knowing him. And you do that by inviting him into your life. And then as you invite him into your life, then you're just flooded with his light. And then that is because you invite him not only into your life, but into your heart, into your dark places, into your vulnerable places. And when you see that God is not here to destroy you, he's here to heal you. Everything written in his word is for your benefit. What benefit does God get out of telling you to stay away from some things? Nothing. It's for your benefit. It's for my benefit because he knows what's on the other side of that. He knows the brokenness on the other side of some of this stuff. And so he says, stay away from things because he doesn't want you in pain. He doesn't want us in brokenness. And when we start to see it like that, and even the dark things, we see that God heals us from the inside out, we start having a confident hope that I can trust him with everything. And we start to then grow more and more. And now we're no longer ashamed to turn everything over to him. You know why? Because we now have hope that really Christ is where everything is. That Jesus is really where all of my hope is. And as we start into that process, Paul has one more thing. And he said, this is the last part of this. You start following this cycle. This is where you start to see that Christ is everything that we need. And he says it like this. He says, I also pray, not only that you get to know God more, not only that you let him into every part of your life, but I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. The incredible greatness. In other words, he's saying this. He's saying, I pray the more confident hope grows, the more your confident hope grows, the more you experience his incredible greatness in all things. The more you begin to understand and you experience his incredible greatness in all things. He said it like this. He said, let me share with you what this is. He said, understanding. I want you to underline that. Understanding, not just hearing about, not just having a general idea, but then understanding for yourself the incredible greatness of God's power. In other words, he's saying this. He's saying, do you know, sometimes we get really, really good at figuring out how big our problems are. I'm not going to say that on you. I'm going to say that on me because I'm really good at it. Like I can tell you, I can always give you something to worry about, okay? That is something that God's having to work out in my life. It doesn't matter if the sun is shining and everything is great. I mean, this is pumpkin spice latte season. I can tell, praise the Lord. All right, pumpkin spice latte season. Be careful because you might have ordered it hot and they're going to give it to you cold. There's always something to worry about, okay? But here's the thing. We can get so good at describing the size of our problem that we forget to remember the size of our God. And all of a sudden, our problems get so big, and because we just keep on seeing how big it is, and there's always something to worry about, that we forget that God is bigger and that God is greater than anything we're going through. And what Paul is saying is, you know, my prayer for you is that as you get to know God and as you let the light flood into your life, I'm praying that you get a revelation of how big God is. that you get close to an idea. And he said it like this. He's like, just as a starter, this is how big. And if you want to underline these with me, he said, by the way, this is how big God is. That it's the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. And I don't want to know your business, but I want to ask right now, is there anything in your life that the power to raise something back to life couldn't handle? I mean, I think the power to raise something back to life could help you deal with your overbearing boss, okay? They are not that awesome. Or whatever it is, this relationship issue you're dealing with, or this financial issue you're dealing with, or whatever that worry is, the ability to bring something back to life, that amount of power is pretty awesome. That's a pretty big deal. But then he said, also realizing that Christ is also far above any ruler, authority, power, leader, or in case I missed it, anything else. Now, what does that look like in our life? Any ruler, any government, any authority, any whatever that's going on, your job, your other situation, any power that has control in your life, any other leader or whatever it is. Like he's kind of saying, do you think there's anything bigger than God? No. And then he goes like this. He's saying anything that's in our world or anything they can come up with, no matter what it is, nothing is bigger than God. Well, why is that important? Because we need to understand the power of God because it's for us. God's power on display isn't just for us to ooh and ah about, but to realize that the King of all creation has his eyes on you. And when you start to see life like that, all of your problems, they don't go away, but they do get smaller in the light of how big God really is. And I think this is the big idea that Paul is getting to, is he's saying, man, you know what my hope is for you? My hope is for you is that you see that Christ alone is what you've been looking for. That private battle that nobody else knows about, that the answer is found in Jesus. And so then how do I figure that out? Well, first thing you got to do is keep learning about God, but make sure it doesn't just stay in a head knowledge. But man, I'm praying for you that you'll have some experiences, you'll have some processes you'll walk through. And as you do that, you'll gain spiritual wisdom. And you'll go from knowing about God to knowing who he is. And you'll take him with you wherever you go in your life. And then as you do that, then you'll invite him not to just go with you in your life, but go on the inside, to let everything in you be flooded with his light. And just like my dad, you can, if you turn the light on, sometimes God will show you where some potholes are, some difficult places, some dangerous places. But here's the thing, you can trust the Lord. You can trust his goodness so that if he exposes something, it's never to shame you, it's never to hurt you, it's to heal you. And as you do life with God and you get brave enough to open up that closet door and say, okay, God, can we get really honest? I've got a porn issue that nobody knows about. I've got an insecurity issue that nobody else knows about. I've got this issue nobody else knows about, and God, nobody knows. So I'm taking a chance, God, and I'm gonna open that door. You know what you're gonna find? Is that he's not gonna expose you. He's gonna heal you. He's going to put you in places with people you can trust and people you can love to come alongside you. And they're going to go, you know what? Me too. But God is healing me. Let's walk toward healing together. And as you start to do that, your confident hope grows and you get to the place where you find a weakness, you find a vulnerability, and you're excited to bring it to God because you trust him. And then when you do that, you start to see his greatness and his power. And you start to see how much bigger he is than all of your problems. And you start to see the greatness of God. And when you start to see his greatness, there's something amazing that happens. Something happened this past week in my life, and that is, I had someone send me this article. And it's a friend of mine, and he said he was having a crisis of faith because there were some scientists who got together, and they thought they had figured out a way to prove that the Big Bang didn't happen. And he was like, man, if the Big Bang is not real, what if they find a way to prove, you know, that God's not real? And I was like, what? You know, he's like, it could happen. It could totally. I mean, he was having a massive crisis of faith. And I was able to talk to him for a minute. And I was able to say, man, I love science. I love that the bigger the telescopes and the brighter the microscopes, that we're able to see so far, and we're able to see the planets and the galaxies and the things, and the more we're able to look at the longest sentence in the world, the human genetic code, DNA. And we're able to see the precision. Do you realize that just one small thing off and life is not possible on our planet? And one letter out of sequence in your DNA code and you would not be alive right now. The mathematical precision of our universe is amazing. And I told him, I was like, here's the thing, is I love it. As a matter of fact, I feel like that every time a scientist discovers something, man, it's some reason for me to celebrate. Because here's the thing. It doesn't matter how good we get at being able to describe what we see. There's only one person that can describe why we see it, and that's the author. And I love it. I love being able to figure out the debate between whether Pluto is a planet or not, and then figure out, you know, quantum mechanics, is it a particle or a wave? And some of y'all have no idea what I'm talking about, and that's okay. I barely do either. I love all that stuff because it's explaining all the whats, but we're only going to be able to go to the author to figure out why. And so I love it. And the Bible says exactly why. Why is all of this? Why is all of this here? Why did God go through all the trouble? Well, he said that God has put all things under the authority of Christ and made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. Do you know why? Because he loves you. Do you know why you're here? Because he loves you. Because he has a big idea for you. Why is all of this here? Because God wants you. He desires a relationship with you. And so never, ever, ever let anybody tell you you don't have value, because the King of the universe created all of this with you in mind. And what Paul is saying is, he's saying, what's the all things for you? What's the all things that you have no idea why it's in your life? What is it? Is it your job? Is it being concerned that something's gonna happen? And after it happens, you're gonna lose your job, and then if you lose your job, this is gonna happen and that's gonna happen? Or is it a relationship? There was a relationship in your life and it used to be so strong and powerful, but now there's something going on and you don't know what's happening, but it's not like it was. And so now you're wondering why this is here and all this kind of stuff. Did you realize that all things are under Christ's authority? And you know what he's going to do with it? He's going to use it to the benefit. He's going to use it for you. The Bible says all things work together to the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And what Paul is saying is he's saying the church is his, and it is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things with himself. All things. Even that thing is not bigger than God. Even that problem, even that conversation, is not bigger than God. And God is so much more powerful than any issue that we face. And so Paul is saying, my hope and prayer is that you would realize that every area of your life that is not full, every area of your life that is not complete, it finds its fullness and its completion in Jesus. And as I was getting this message ready, I was thinking about this, and this is just kind of me thinking here. I really got stuck on Paul saying, man, I've heard all the good things that's happening. Man, everything's like, it's like baseball. It's up and to the right, man. It sounds like you're hitting a home run, man. Good for you guys. Good job. But instead of praying, hey, man, I just prayed that more of the same, he starts praying about finding fullness and completion. Now, if you heard a good friend of yours, everything's going great, everything's awesome, wouldn't you be like, man, I just pray you just stay in that? Well, instead, he starts praying, I pray for fullness to happen. I pray you see God. It sounds like he's praying for emotional healing, for digging down deep into God. And it made me think about how so many of us, On the outside, we look so good. You know, the news about us is great. Everything's great. Isn't that what we do? Hey, man, how you doing? I'm fine. How you doing? Fine. And if you grew up in church, it's how you doing? Man, I am blessed beyond measure. Man, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Well, everything's falling apart. But we don't want to admit it, right? And I was thinking about this in my life. It's about 3 weeks ago. I had somebody call me on the phone, a good friend of mine. And he said, man, how you doing? I said, man, I am great. Things are good. Praise the Lord, all that stuff. And he just let me just lie for a while. And then he said, okay, that's great. That's great. How you doing? I said, man, I am struggling so bad. I'm just struggling. And he said, good. Because that's the first step of getting better. Stop lying. And I wonder if in here today, if maybe, I'm not going to out you, none of that, but you look so good this morning. You got a smile on your face. You look wonderful. If I asked you right now, how you doing? Man, I am great. Too blessed to be stressed. Man, the devil ain't got me. Everything looks great. But on the inside, you're worried. You're full of fear. Nobody knows. It's okay that nobody else knows. Some people don't need to know your business. But can I tell you, Jesus knows. And some of us who've been living this journey with you a little bit, we know that just because everything looks good doesn't mean everything is good. And I wonder if Paul hears all this good news and he's going, great, wonderful. I'm praying God will heal you. I'm praying you'll see his light and it'll flood your life and it'll heal the things on the inside and you'll see how big God is and find out that everything you've been looking for is found in him. What are you talking about, Paul? Everybody's talking about how good the church at Ephesus is doing. Everything's wonderful. Oh, I hear it. And I'm sure it's good, but everybody's got a private battle nobody else knows about. And I'm praying that you'll just have an encounter with God and he'll heal all the things I didn't hear about because God cares about that too. And can I tell you today, God cares about the things nobody else knows about. He's not ashamed of you. He's not embarrassed by you. He's in love with you. And as I was praying for you this week and preparing this message, I had this thought come to me so strong that there was going to be somebody here today that you've been hiding a pain or a hurt from God because you were so afraid you didn't know what he was going to do with it. You were so afraid that maybe he was going to tell somebody else somehow or it was, I don't know. Can I tell you? You don't have to be afraid of God. He loves you more than you'll ever understand. And he wants to heal you from the inside out. That private battle that nobody else knows about, first of all, don't let that make you feel ashamed because we all got one. But can I tell you what you've been looking for? It's not found in another Facebook post. It's not found in holding somebody else's flag. It's not found in lining up this person over there. You know where it's found? It's found in Jesus. It's found in walking with your brothers and sisters in Christ and just saying, here I am. I just want more of you. And if you'll have the courage to come before God and to give it to him, you might be just one prayer away from experiencing freedom that you didn't think was possible. But it starts with inviting him into your life, by letting him into every dark place and say, God, show your light. And then remembering how big he is and that he is big enough for any problem that you face. And only then will you realize, just like I've had to realize in my life, everything I've been looking for is found in Christ alone. And in just a second, I'm gonna pray for us. And the band is going to come up. They're going to lead us to one more worship song. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to experience God. I have no idea what you need today. I don't know your private battle. Can I be honest with you? I don't want to know. Jesus knows. And he's ready to heal you. Now, for some of us, you need salvation. At the bottom of your message notes, it's a guide on how you can pray to receive Jesus as your Lord today. Maybe you know Jesus, but you also know pain. You also know brokenness. And it's time to turn it over to him. I'm going to give you an opportunity if you want to join me up here in the altar. And what we're going to do is it's just a physical way of turning it over to the Lord and say, God, I'm tired of carrying this on my own. I want to find everything I need, and I want to find it in you. So I'm going to turn it all over to you. And I want to make you a promise. If you'll take that step of faith, God will meet you right here. And I don't know if it'll be a moment or it will start a process, but you'll never be the same if you'll trust God with it. Let's pray together this morning. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your presence and your mercy. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you know us and you love us. In this moment, in this place right now, I'm so very thankful, Holy Spirit, that you have the ability to speak to all of us. For some of us, this is the moment. This is when we give our heart to you. We're going to remember this day for the rest of our lives, as this was the day that light shined into the dark places in my life, and I turned my heart over to Jesus, and I started a journey, and I was never the same. I celebrate in advance, God, turning from darkness to light. For others of us, God, we know you and we love you, and we trust you enough to give to you our darkness, to give to you our brokenness, to give to you our pain, because you are worthy and you are trustworthy. So God, as we worship you, we just give you permission to have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me all over the house this morning?